When Ein Yaakov, it says page Yotes on the top left corner. Ein Yaakov is a work that distills the Talmud for the Agados, the stories, the Agados of the Talmud. So we had begun the story on the previous page. We had learned how three great rabbis were sitting together. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi began by saying how nice are the actions of this nation, the Romans, who established marketplaces, who established bridges, who established bathhouses. Rabbi Yossi was silent, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, whatever they did for themselves. They set up marketplaces to set up women of ill repute. They set up bathhouses to take care of themselves, and they set up bridges to take taxes. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, who was actually a disciple of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, was not discreet about this conversation. He told it over without ill intent, but he was not discreet. And so what he said got back to the Romans.
So who said that it was good again?
Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, Rabbi Yehuda. So, and they said, because Rabbi Yehuda praised us, we're going to establish that whenever the rabbis convene, he gets to talk first. Rabbi Yossi didn't say anything. He's going to be exiled to Tzipori, which was actually the place where his father was rabbi. And Rabbi Shimon, who spoke badly about us, should be executed. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai went with his son, and initially they hid in the base medrash, and his wife brought him bread and water every day. When the Romans got very heated in searching for Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he said to his son, she might give us away, so we better go somewhere else. So they went to a cave, and a miracle happened. A carob tree grew outside the cave, and a stream of water started flowing by the cave, and they dug two pits, and they'd take off their clothes, climb into the pit, cover themselves to the neck in sand, and learn all day, talk and learning back and forth all day. And then when they'd have to daven, when the time came for davening, they would climb out, get dressed, daven, and then get back into the pit. So they envisioned themselves being in the cave for a long time. They were prepared for that. Yes. That way their clothes wouldn't wear out. That's what I'm saying. They climbed into the pit because they realized their clothes wouldn't last if they wore them all day. So they spent 12 years in the cave until Elio came outside the cave and said, who's going to tell them that the Caesar has died and his decrees have been annulled? They went outside and they saw a man plowing and planting. And they said, how could it be that people are leaving the most important thing, like learning Torah, and they're dealing with the mundane, and any place they'd look at would get burnt? A heavenly voice came out and said, did you come out of your cave to destroy my world? Go back to your cave. So that's what we're up to. So, the Hadur Azul, we're on the third wide line, the middle of the line, page Yutes. Hadur Azul, so they went back into the cave. This time, Hashem sent them back to the cave. Itivu treisal yanche shata. They spent a year in the cave. So you see, they kept the calendar. They kept track of, they had to keep a calendar because they're responsible to keep Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh. They have to know how to daven. They have to know, I don't know how they eat matzah. I guess they didn't have matzah in there, right? For 12 years they had to live without matzah or a sukkah. Amrei, they said, Mishpat l'sheim b'geinom yud bet chodesh. The Mishnah says in Tractate Eduyos that even the most wicked people only spend 12 months, I shouldn't say only, a second is terrible, but they spend 12 months in perdition and then they get out. That's why when people say Kaddish, if a person is saying Kaddish over a parent who's deceased, so they say 11 months. They don't say 12 months, unless the parent was obviously a gangster. You know, if his father was in the mafia, then he says 12 months. But when the parents were regular Jews, we always say 11 months because we don't want to indicate that they need the merits of the Kaddish for 12 months. So we say the wicked spend 12 months in perdition. So that's the maximum. So Yatzta bat kol v'amra tzu mimeharatchem. A heavenly voice came out and said, after they themselves figured out, so to speak, they made a claim towards heaven. You know, even the wicked don't have to spend more than 12 months in perdition. Now that That's interesting. It seems like the last 12 months were worse than the first 12 years. Because the first 12 years, they were dealing with the Caesar. Okay, the Caesar wants me out of his world. I can handle that. I can hide in the cave. But if Hashem tells me get into a cave, don't go around destroying my world, that's very difficult to live those 12 months in a cave. So they said, you know, even the wicked don't spend more than 12 months in perdition. We would think they were in Gan Eden, right? They were learning Torah. They had no worries. Here we see that the last 12 months were not. So a heavenly voice came out and said, Tzu mimaratchem, go out of your cave. It's interesting that it's called their cave. Nafku. So they went out of the cave. Kolheicha dehavemachi Rabbi Elazar, havemase Rabbi Shimon. Asya is healing. If you look across the street from the Shuk, there's a pharmacy called Asya. Asya is Aramaic for healing. So remember, the father is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The son is Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Whenever we see Rabbi Elazar plainly in the Mishnah, it's Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Otherwise, we'll see Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
Correct. When you see Rabbi Elazar plainly in the Shas, in the Talmud, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, the Amora, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. So in the Mishnah, it's Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. In the Talmud, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas. He also had a son named Pidas. His father was Pidas, and he named his son Pidas. Okay, so they come out of the cave, and Rabbi Elazar is still burning everything up. Anything he sees, he can't handle it. Why are people dealing with the mundane? And anything he looks at goes up in flames. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai looks at it and heals it. Amar le bni, dai lo olam ani v'ata. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai tells his son, son, it's enough for me and you to sustain the world. The rest of the world isn't holding there. You and I will sustain the world. Behadei panya de ma'ale shabata. It was the afternoon, Friday afternoon. Chazu hahusaba. They saw that old man. Tosfos and somewhere else brings an opinion that almost everywhere you encounter the words Hahu Saba in Shas, with one or two exceptions, almost everywhere that it says Hahu Saba, there's an opinion in Tosfos that that's a code for Eliyahu HaNavi. They saw that old man, the old grandpa. Who is that? That's a code for Eliyahu. That the Talmud was alluding to the fact that they saw Eliyahu. They see an old man, they have a madane asa. He's holding two branches of myrtle, of hadassim, virahit, and he's running. Bein hashmashot, it's twilight. So he's in a rush.
Two branches of
hadassim, myrtle branches, like we shake with the lulav. We have a lulav, aravos, and hadassim, right? The three-leaved hadassim, myrtle branches. So they see an old man running with two branches of myrtle, and it's Friday afternoon at twilight. They ask him, what are you carrying two branches of myrtle for? You're not planting them now, right? Shabbos is coming in. What are you doing with the two branches? Why are you carrying these? Amar lehu, he said to them, lichvod Shabbat. These two are in honor of Shabbos. V'tiski lach bechad. They said, you want to honor Shabbos and have something that gives a nice smell? So they didn't have flowers in their house in honor of Shabbos. They had a branch of hadassim. They brought greenery into the house and they'd smell it on Shabbos. So they said, isn't one enough? He answered them, chad keneged zachor v'chad keneged shamor. One corresponds to the commandment, remember Shabbos, commemorate Shabbos. The other one corresponds to the commandment, withhold yourself from doing prohibited activity on Shabbos. Amar le lebrei. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to his son, chazi, do you see kama chavivin mitzvot al Yisrael, how the Jews love mitzvos? Look at that. They're not only commemorating the mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos, to have a good chulent zachar, remember Shabbos, to enjoy it, to rest on Shabbos. No, they're also commemorating the prohibitions of Shabbos. Look at how they love the mitzvos. One branch would have been enough. No, he has to have two to commemorate both mitzvos. Yativ datayu, they both calm down. So, if you guys ever merit to go to Hasidish Tish, you'll see that the Rebbes are very careful to have two branches of hadassim, and Friday night after Kiddush, they make a blessing, Borei Atzei Besamim. Blessed is Hashem who created branches that give off good smell. just like we say the blessing borei minei besamim. So there's also a blessing borei atzei besamim. If it's a branch that has a good smell, if it's a grass that has a good smell, so then we make a blessing borei isvei besamim. He who created grasses that have a good smell. And if it's a fruit that has a good smell, so we make a blessing. Sometimes you go to the shuk and you walk by and suddenly you smell, they have those yellow fruit, what are they called? I don't remember the name. But it gives off a very strong smell. So there's a blessing, Asher Natan Reach Tov BePerot. Blessed is Hashem who gave good smell to fruits. You open sometimes you can open an orange. I don't know if you like the smell, or an esrog. So on an esrog, we have a question because we usually eat it. Okay, so so we have these blessings. So the Magen Avraham in the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Arizal that there is a Kabbalistic opinion. Most people don't do this, but there is such a Kabbalistic opinion that in honor of Shabbos, a person should try to have two Hadassim branches. So in Shmutzlarts, this might be a little difficult. But here in Israel, I had the good fortune when we lived here in Kiryat Moshe, just outside our house, there was a Hadassim bush. So on Friday, I could pluck off two branches of Hadassim, and on Shabbos, I can make another blessing, Borei Atzei B'Samim. So you find them in many places here in Israel. You have Hadassim growing. They might not be kosher for Sukkot, but they're kosher for Shabbos. So this actually became a custom, one corresponding to Zachor and one corresponding to Shamor. We'll come back to this in a second. Yes?
Can we see that Shamor and Zachor are corresponding to Munah Mitachlon?
I don't know.
Can you see the connection or no?
I don't see it, but enlighten me.
Just do that, like, Munah is the... like the knowledge, and Bitachon
is like the implementation of the knowledge, and Zachar
is like the knowledge, and Shemor is the same thing.
I hear. I have to think about it. Interesting. I hear. I don't know. so in Halacha, does anyone know what we do corresponding to this? One corresponding to Zachor and one corresponding to Shemor? Okay, so Kiddush is all Zachor. How do we commemorate Shabbos? We have a biblical mitzvah. When Shabbos enters, we'll get you, you're right. We commemorate Shabbos when it enters. Zachor, we point out, hey, it's Shabbos now. So we say Kiddush. And when Shabbos ends, we delineate. We show Shabbos is hereby ended. We make Havdalah. So those are two components of one mitzvah, of Zachor. Before I make Kiddush, I will very often ask my children or the guests, do you know what we're doing now? What mitzvah are we doing now? We're doing one of the Ten Commandments. Commemorate Shabbos. This is what we're doing. That's what Kiddush is. We're delineating that Shabbos has hereby begun. That's why you should try to rush home and make Kiddush when Shabbos begins. If you show up 3 hours late, you sort of miss the boat. You still make Kiddush Friday night. If you miss the Friday night, I was once, my wife gave birth, thank you. Not tonight. It was a Friday night. I was in the hospital. It wasn't my wife who gave birth. I was in the hospital with one of the kids, and I'm Ashkenazi, I don't have another wife. that wasn't a shtach, he's proud of it. someone else was with his wife the whole night in the delivery ward. I was with my son in the hospital, and Shabbos morning, someone comes over and tells me, I didn't make Kiddush last night, I was in the delivery ward all night. He looked it. He's half dead. He says, what do I do now? So I told him, you make the Kiddush now. If you didn't make Kiddush Friday night, so you make the Friday night Kiddush by Shabbos day. Ideally, you make it when Shabbos begins, but if you miss the boat, so then you make it in the morning also. Akiva said the right answer. We light two Shabbos candles, one corresponding to Zachor and one corresponding to Shamor, corresponding to the two commandments. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is out with his son. He has a son-in-law, a very famous, pious son-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. You guys ever hear of him?
Split the sea.
Oh, right. The story the Talmud tells us is that he was once walking by, he needed to cross a river, and the river split for him. So he's very pious. Shama Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Chatanei. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, his son-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair married his daughter, so he hears that his father-in-law is out of the cave, he's back in town. V'napak la'pei. He went out to greet him. Aile lebei bane. He took him into the bathhouse. He took him in, and he's going to serve his father-in-law. He's going to help him out. He's going to help him. He's an old man. He's going to help him anoint himself and wash himself. He hasn't had a bath in 12, 13 years. So he's been in a cave for 13 years. So he's going to help him out. So he was massaging his father-in-law's flesh. He saw that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's whole body was cracked up. All his skin was cracked because it was all dry from spending 13 years in the sand. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair sees his father-in-law like this, he starts weeping. So the salty tears drip on the crack in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's skin, and they hurt him. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair says, "Woe to me that I see you like this." Amarle, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai answered him, "Ashrecha sheritani bekach. You should be thankful you merit to see me like this. Shilmalei lo reitani bekach lo metzata bekach. Because if you wouldn't see me looking like this, you wouldn't find me like this. How so? Demikara ki avem akshirash bikushi avem fakle Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair treisa peruke." He says, when I first took you as my son-in-law, any question I'd ask, you'd have 12 answers for. You were smarter than me. You knew more Torah than me when I took you as a son-in-law. I could ask a question, you could give me 12 proofs for the answer. But now, whenever you ask a question, I got 24 answers for any question you have. So I've tripled myself in Torah. In those 13 years, I have caught up to you, and now I'm double you. So, yeah, my body's worn down, but look at how much Torah I've accomplished. So, we have to end, because Myra's in a few minutes. But I want to point out something that's very important in this whole story, a very simple point. We're reading about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Some want to say that during that period in the cave, when he was so holy, that's when he wrote the Zohar. That's when he compiled the Zohar, the nucleus of the Zohar. We know the Zohar was expanded on, but the nucleus of the Zohar was compiled when he was in that state where he was just holy, not dealing with anything mundane. We think of holy people, and we think that they are totally disjointed from the world. They're completely separate. And here you see that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, who is also super holy, is busy helping him take a bath. Someone once asked the children, this happened to a few big rabbis, what was it like, the children of big rabbis were asked, what was it like growing up in your father's house? And the children always responded the same response, normal. We had normal fights, we had normal singing, we had a normal childhood. And very often people think that in order to be holy, you have to be weird. Then you go to a big rabbi's house, everything's going to seem very crazy, right? That's because they're so big. No, you see here, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what's his son-in-law doing? He says, "Dad, you just came out of the cave. Let me help you." So he goes with him and he does the simple mitzvah of helping him take a bath, helping him deal with the old age and getting into the bath. I know rabbis who went and helped their father in the store. Their father had a grocery store, so when their father was old and they needed help there, they went and helped them there. Simple things like shoveling the snow. There are famous stories of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He'd walk down the street and he'd see a woman carrying a jerrycan filled with fuel for the kerosene heaters, and he'd take it from her and take it up the steps. He'd say, "How could a woman be carrying such a heavy jerrycan?" So, simple things. But part of being a giant is caring for the simple things. Dealing with life, being real, normal. So here the Talmud has much depth. This story really has much more depth than we've seen yet. Hopefully we'll get back to this next week. But now it's time for Myron.